Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay, right. So I walk into the bar in Spain, okay, pre-empty bar, very late at night, probably about 1 a.m. And at the bar is this ex-footballer. I'm not going to say who it is, all right, and you can guess who you think it is later on. And empty bar, basically. But so I went up, buy a beer, and he's right next to me, and I just said, hiya, how are you doing? It's your first time in this resort where we were, because I've been going there for years and years. And he sort of went, oh no, I've been here before. I was like, oh okay, seems a pleasant chap. He's with a nice young lady, and so I sort of said, can I ask you one question? And he went, yeah, fine. And I said, do you ever nearly play for Spurs? And he sort of said, I would like to play for Spurs, actually. It would have been a good club for me. And I sort of said, yeah, actually, with your passion and the way you play the game. Yeah, definitely. I thought Harry Redknapp was going to buy you at one point. And he went, yeah, maybe. And then he started going on about Harry Redknapp and different things. I'm not going to say what he said, but I was sort of set back a little bit by it. I was like, okay. And then I said, I'll tell you, one of my dad's mates is Mike England. And he went, so? And I cut the conversation dead. And I said, well, I only mention it because obviously, he's Wales' greatest ever player. To which he looked at his girlfriend, looked at me, and went, how is he Wales' best player? His name's Mike England. and his girlfriend just sort of looked at me like didn't know what was going on, basically. And he was like taking the mickey out of me for suggesting. And I just went, well, sorry, but you must know that Mike England, it's just his surname. He is Welsh. And he goes, no, of course he's not Welsh. Yeah, he might have been Wales manager at one point, but his name's Mike England. And he was rolling his eyes. So I goes, right, okay, well, listen, not only is he Welsh, but he's also Wales' greatest ever player. I mean, for goodness sake, he played against Pelé about 15 times. And he just looked at me square in the eyes and he went, no, he didn't. So I was like, okay, fine. And as I went to turn and go, he went, and by the way, I'm trying to have a nice romantic evening with my girlfriend. Can I be left alone, please? And I went, yeah, no problem. Just walked away. And I thought, what a plonker. Plonker.
Who was this? We've got to know who it was.
It was... to a brand new season of the Hotspurs podcast. I am Steve, I'm in Leon C in Essex, and we've got Colin from Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yes, doing good, mate. Well,
all right.
Doing okay.
As per usual, it's Sunday, the 16th of August, 2015. This is, I think, fifth season of doing the Hotspurs podcast. Yeah. When we started, there was only a couple around. We started at the same sort of time as the Fighting Cock Boys. Basically met Colin in a pub and liked the cut of his jib, liked his accent. So I said, listen, I'm starting to do a podcast. Do you fancy doing it? And as I said to you, Colin, last week, never a cross word, eh? It's been absolutely brilliant. We've got the Facebook page, so please like us on there. We've got a Twitter, which we do, at Colin Spurs. You'll find Colin doing the Twitter there. And we try and keep it all about football, occasionally chucking a couple of other bits and pieces. But I promise Colin, I'll try and stick to the football and just comment on that. And please know, though, with the Twitter, that they are my comments. They're not Colin. So if you want to speak to Colin directly, go to at Colin Spurs. Also on Facebook, my tweets link to the Facebook page. So that's why they're relatively short sometimes. And it's very difficult to get into a flow of conversation. Obviously, some of the tweets Twitter conversations I've had over the last few months, few years even, start off quite heated actually, but you know, it's all meant in good fun, quite good banter, and by the end of it, most people are like, okay mate, yeah, I see your point, and I say the same back to them. So get involved, you know, not a problem. We respond to everything, but the best thing to do, as I say, if you want to get in touch, tweet at Hotspurs Podcast and at Colin Spurs, get him involved as well, because it's always good to get us both involved. Right, mate, we're a Spurs podcast. All we do is talk about football. We watch all the games, not just Spurs ones. Can't stand Arsenal, right, Carl?
You're right.
Yeah, and this is just a phone conversation. There's no fanciness. There's no, you know, we don't have. Well, we do have brilliant special guests. I mean, we had a couple recently. Fantastic, Adam Richmond, who obviously does that barbecue champ thing, and he's lined up Mylene Class for us in a couple of weeks. We're gonna have a chat with her. So fantastic. But you know, we're not experts. We're just mad keen Spurs fans who watch every single game by hook or by crook. Cole,
yep.
Stoke at home. Talk me through it.
Oh, where to start? I was devastated, Steve. Obviously, you were at the game, so you'll be able to talk about it from that point of view. But, you know, I was in work following the game on Twitter. Obviously, I've watched, you know, the extended highlights on Sky. And, you know, by the sound of things, you know, and what I watched, you know, that first half, you know, we look good, we look strong, you know, good atmosphere on the ground, crowd up for it. But it was just the usual, you know. It's really hard to know what to say, Steve, about it, because we were sort of hoping that we would just be starting to get away from this, you know, as people say, the Spursy thing. But, you know, as soon as Stoke got that penalty, I just knew in my heart of hearts that they were going to equalise. And that was it, back to 2-2. And by the sound of things, we were maybe even lucky to hold on in the end, you know, to even get a point. But just really disappointing, because we'll talk about United later. I thought United, we done well. Like the whole Man United at Old Trafford, with what they've bought and who they've signed, you know, the really where they didn't even have a shot and goal. Thought we'd perform well. You know, it would have been great just to get those 3 points at White Hart Lane. Everybody would have been buzzing. You know, we'd have took a bit of pressure off about, you know, obviously signings that we're still all hoping that are going to come into the club. But I think in the end of the day, it just showed that the frailties are still there. You know, with the team, obviously strengthened with a few defenders, but, you know, we'll get into it soon. I think, you know, it shows that we still need 2, 3, maybe 4 players. And we've left it late again, Steve. And, you know, I tweeted out and I put on Facebook, I think, straight after, you know, Daniel Levy, you know, to me, I'm sick of our managers getting the stick. All I seen was, you know, Poch out and, you know, people getting on the manager's back. I think we've got to start looking at him now and going, you know, he's just doesn't seem to be getting the support. You know, it was all about getting signings in early this year, see what we were going to do, and just being disappointed, Steve. But I was gutted. I'm absolutely gutted and struggling to even know what to say about the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't know, do we? We honestly don't know the conversations that have taken place. Has Pochettino said, you know, last season, Harry Kane, you know, it was his first season. He'd done very well. The lad at QPR, Charlie Adam, he also did very well. What do you fancy about him, Daniel? And he's turned around and said, well, no, let's see how he gets on for 6 months. Before making a decision. You know, we don't know what the conversations have been had. You know, my guess is that he hasn't had that conversation and that he hasn't said, go and get me Charlie Adam, because if he had done, I think we would have done.
Charlie Austin, sorry.
He's the one that sort of is the natural guy to come in and be the support player. You know, he doesn't want to be in the Championship, does he? He wants to play. You know, and he'd play in Europa games. Obviously, he'd play in cup games, but he'd play a lot of games as well, because Harry Kane isn't, as we saw on Saturday, is not going to play every minute of every game because he's going to get knocks. I noticed him rubbing his calf in the first half. And I said to the people around me that, look, he's rubbing his calf here. He's injured. He's gone. And I was surprised to actually see him come out in the second half. But obviously, you know, they sort of said, you know, go out, give it 15 minutes. And, you know, by that time it's 2-0. And what happened was, you know, we brought Lamella on and shifted Chadli to up front, who, you know, did all right, didn't he, against AC Milan? You know, not can you can go by friendlies, obviously, from the Bentley versus Roma debacle, you know, and all those goals that Darren Bent scored, and then, you know, you cannot go on friendlies. But, you know, we know that Chadli knows where the back of the net is. He scored a very good goal. And, you know, but he didn't play as a striker, to be honest with you. Chadli sort of still played in that kind of roaming number 10 role, you know, drifting from one side to the other. Whereas perhaps if the instruction was clear, you know, stick in the middle, it might have been a bit better. But obviously Lamella came on, you know, he looked like the player that we bought, you know, two seasons ago. I don't know, ugly duckling, you know, in a sea of swans, but obviously not, because a lot of the other Spurs dipped as well. But he really doesn't look like a football player. He looks like the kid in the playground who's got the best boots, the best haircut, you know, the best looking mum, who's got all the tricks and everything. And when it comes to game day, you know, does a couple of step overs and the kid on the other team just comes in and just takes the ball off him. you know, he's away from the ball. He hasn't got a good touch. He just really, really can't. He's gone so far back. You wonder what to do now. You know, naturally you got to give him time. We said we'd give him another season. And at the moment, there isn't really anybody, you know, they're saying about Lennon or Townsend, but, you know, Lennon's out. Townsend is injured. But, you know, this is why, you know, in the last two seasons, Cole, I've sort of praised Townsend, because with Townsend, I can see something. With Lamella, I just can't see it. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't mean you boo, it doesn't mean you slag them off all over social media. But I think if you want to say, I don't think he's a very good player and I think we should sell him, I think you're fully entitled to say that. I mean, what else are you going to say?
Did the crowd get on his back, Steve? Because I sort of got that impression from Twitter.
Well, what are you supposed to do? I mean, he gives the ball away or he's nowhere near it. You groan. The natural thing is to groan. No one, you know, there was not like a chant. You know, it wasn't like Adebayor when he came on last season, 10 minutes to go, 1-0 down, bring Adebayor on, and the crowd boos. And we know how that ended up. We lost the game. You know, so the crowd can be completely unhelpful at times. But in that instance, the only boos really were at the end of the game. And, you know, if you're the sort of bloke who wants to stand there and boo, you know, that's up to you. I remember I did it about, I don't know, years and years ago. At the end of a game, I stood up and booed, and immediately I went bright red. I was incredibly embarrassed about what I was doing, and I swore that I'd never do it again because it was absolutely ridiculous. But if you want to stand up and boo, if you're that sort of...
I think the booing thing comes because obviously we've all been at games, and I think it just comes out of like a frustration. Yeah. It's almost like a natural, as you say, like a groan is almost a, you know, you're sitting there on the ground and, you know, you groan and things. And I think sometimes you're so frustrated, especially with being 2-0 up, you know, and everybody in great form. And I think for me, what showed up most was, you know, shots of the crowd yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, when it was 2-0, watching the game, everybody seemed to be smiling, seemed to be happy enough. Penalty went in, but then as soon as they equalised, you sort of gone round, and it was people actually sitting holding their heads, you know, and almost like their hands over their mouth in shock, you know, what had happened. So I think the booing thing sort of is almost like a natural reaction from a lot of people. It just comes out, and as you say, maybe after the goal, flip, I probably shouldn't have booed, you know, but it's just one of those things. But, you know, to talk about the game as well, like that first half, I thought we looked strong. Thought Walker looked strong, you know, at right back. It seems to be maybe with Trippier coming in, you know, he's going to have that wee bit of competition, a bit like Danny Rose last year. He looked good. I'm not going to say a surname because I don't want Andrew Rockall having a go at me on Twitter. So I'm just going to call him Toby. I think all the other podcasts are calling him Toby as well. You know, he looks good. I thought he looked great against Man United as well. You know, him and Vertonghen have obviously got an understanding. Was playing for Belgium. You know, Ben Davies in there. I think we'll see Danny Rose back into the team, you know, probably next week. But what I've seen of you know, Davies, I thought he looked all right. He put in a good cross for the goal. But, you know, I was happy with how they were playing. There seemed to be intensity. But it was always, I just always felt it was still lacked something up front. And one of my biggest things that I thought I noticed from a TV point of view was pace. You know, we just didn't seem to. Do you know when you watch other teams, Steve, if you give like Eden Hazard, for an example, when he gets the ball and he's playing against Spurs, you almost take a breath in and go, oh no, he's going to do something. I don't think we have anybody at all in our team that makes anybody else worried. And that's a big thing that I wanted to bring out tonight. And that's the kind of player I think we're really, really lacking. It's someone that gets the ball and is going to scare the opposition. And really, we don't. Even Eriksen, we all know he's a fantastic footballer, and on his day, he will go out and win his games. But when he gets the ball, does he really scare you? You know, we don't have someone with that electric pace. Like, if you remember Aaron Lennon, if we'd say in his heyday, when he was the one player for us when he got the ball, people were scared. You know, what's this guy going to do? We don't have anybody. You know, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but is there anybody when you're sitting watching live that you think, hey, they're going to do something? You know, they're okay. Harry Kane's maybe got a bit of that where, you know, when he gets the ball in those areas, you might expect him to score a goal or do something clever. But I just think we are lacking so much pace and just players to scare other teams.
It's not just the pace of the players, which you're right, we don't have. It's the pace of the passing. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw, who scored that goal last year? It might have been, oh, I can't think. But it was like bang, 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 and it was away. And you know, you watched it with these sides today. What was the first game? Even Palace passed the ball brilliantly, didn't they? Really quick passing, crisp. You know, it sometimes goes out, but they all want the ball. That's the biggest thing with Spurs. You know, getting people on the ball, and Dembele has been in the last couple of years the biggest culprit of that, because he is the most talented midfielder we have, and he just doesn't want the ball. A bit like, you know, Tom Huddleston used to ping a ball and then sit back for the next half an hour thinking, well, I've got my applause for the day. I don't need the ball again. You know, but to be fair, Dembele did play really well, and I'm happy to see him inside because he can do something. Yeah. And he has got a bit of pace, and obviously he's got that guiding past players, and he's got a shot on him. He needs to shoot more often. He needs to do everything that he can do well more often. And I think if we can give him a run of games, then see how we get on, definitely. But like, you know, going back to the Lamella thing, which I'm sure everybody will talk about, so I don't really want to go into it too much, but obviously he hasn't got that pace. He looks as if he has. You know, he gets on the ball and you think, go on, run at them. But he actually can't do it.
Yeah. If you actually watch him when he's running, I watched him last night, he runs on his tippy toes.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and he's almost like skipping, you know, in the air. He just doesn't look like...
Yeah.
And anybody, you know, a regular listener to the show knows how much I've tried to back Lamella.
Exactly.
And I've said, you know, he'll come, but...
I think he can pass it. I think he's got a bit of a clip on him. But he hasn't got a football brain. He hasn't got... I mean, he put a ball in the last minute, which was right next to the goalkeeper. And it was like, a little bit more craft, mate. You know, don't just get it into the mixer. You need to actually, you know, think a bit more carefully. You know, last season we won a lot of games, didn't we, in the last minute, where we were still passing it. Do you know what I mean? And giving it to Eriksen finally, who would pop up and do something. But Eriksen faded terribly from the game. Bentaleb came on. I don't know what's happened to him. I know he gave the ball away a lot last year, but you know, he got stronger and stronger and stronger. And you thought, right, okay. A lot of people were saying, even me was saying, you know, this is the season for him. I'm not writing him off yet, but I'll tell you what, he needs to have a good look at himself and just he was like Jake Livermore. It's like watching Jake Livermore. You know, thinking, you know, he's had a good old pre-season, he's ready to go. This is the season. He looks like a great footballer. Do you know, if you were going to draw a footballer, it'd look like Bentaleb.
Yeah.
Or like Jake Livermore did. But he'd give the ball away, you know, constantly. And he doesn't really do much else, to be honest with you. He passes back a lot and sideways. You know, that brilliant ball he did for Harry Kane last year against Arsenal, surely that would have made him think, well, do you know what? I think I'll get a bit forward or go out wide and whip some more crosses in. The best midfielder, actually, as well as Dembele, was Mason.
Yeah.
He was a changed man. He was absolutely great. And when he came off, I thought, oh, that's really harsh. But Bentaleb's coming on, so, you know, he's good. You know, most people would have chosen him above Mason. You know, it was just the fact that he really was awful, Bentaleb, when he came on, whereas Mason was great. What you didn't see in both goals on Sunday highlights and the Match of the Day highlights was a little run by Mason, and it was almost, he's got the number 8 on his back, it was almost Gazza-like. He kind of did a couple of steps here and there, got past a couple of players, and it was just a shame that his final shot was a bit tame. You didn't see that, did you?
Yeah, I did. But I watched the, do you know why on Sky they do like the hour-long programme?
Right. Did you see that bit with Mason?
Yeah, I did.
It was good, wasn't it?
Pretty good, yeah. I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, so it was...
I was really impressed with him, even as the tackle he made, if you remember.
Yeah.
You know, when Lloris made the bad pass. You know, no, he impressed me. What did you think of Dyer in the defensive midfield role?
Well, I'll come on to that in just a second. Just about the Mason thing. That performance by Mason epitomises what I'm talking about with these players that are kind of fringe, kind of in the side, out the side. He's obviously thought to himself, right, I need to up my game here. And he did. So Bentaleb, if chosen next time or to come on, mate, you've got to up your game because... just take a role model. Like Mason did that last season, do you remember?
In
sort of 10 games, he really faded. And then the last two or three, when he was getting a bit of stick, he thought, right, I'm really going to up it. And he finished the season, last couple of games, really, really well. We want to see the same from the other guys. Dyer, obviously, it's a new position. You know, it's like, I'm amazed by all these football experts who say things like, Dyer isn't a central defensive midfielder or Dyer isn't a right back. How old's Dyer?
Yeah, 2021.
He's 6'2" or whatever, huge fella. He's obviously, you know, he scored a few goals for us. And I love that bit of banter he gave to Ashley Young last week.
Yeah.
So he's got the passion, he's got all that. How do you know, you know, these football experts on other podcasts, that at 20 years old, that he's not a central defensive midfielder, as if there's a huge difference between centre-back and a central defensive midfielder. Oh, sorry, the difference about 10 yards. You know,
yeah, I like him I like him.
So let's see what he does the next few games.
I think he's done all right.
He's done all right. Nothing incredible, but he's done all right.
Yeah, no, I think so. I agree. I think he's done okay. But I think it also maybe shows that, you know, it's Poch, you know, maybe saying, look, we don't have anybody else in here.
Mm.
You know, he's our only other option. And I think that's where we sort of, you know, need to be looking at that end as well. But look, overall, Steve, in the game, you know, look, if we'd ended up winning 2-1, you know, probably would have been a different podcast. It would have been a completely different reaction on Twitter. I probably wouldn't have cracked up like I did at the end and went on to Twitter and just, I went on a bit of a rant about Daniel Levy and things. You know, it wouldn't have happened, but look, we're football fans. That's the way we all react when our team, you know, blows a 2-goal lead. I think it's just frustrating for us all that it always seems to be us.
Yeah.
You know, if we always seem to do it. But I think what we need to look at as well, you know, now is, you know, where we need to strengthen, Steve. And, it, you know, it's a big gripe of mine, and that's why I sort of jumped on the Daniel Levy thing. I'm sick of our managers always getting the blame, you know. And I know Pochettino, he's taken a bit of flack. Substitutions were probably wrong. But, look, Kane, if he was injured, had to come off. But it shows that we don't have anybody else. And it's something we need to address. For me, we need another two strikers into that squad.
Yeah.
Charlie Austin, I think, is a massive call. I think he's very like-for-like with Kane. Him and Kane, both even together up front. I think this guy from West Brom, Barahino, I think that's going to happen this week, Steve.
Yeah.
I think that result on Saturday will possibly push that through a bit quicker. The new guy was signed, how do you pronounce his name? Do you know?
Well, I don't get it, because there was a post about him, but NG in or something. He said he'd call him Clint. So
Clint, that'll do me. So well, but I don't know anything about the guy. I really don't. I think Pochettino said something about he's going to play through the middle. You know, I think the guy's got a load of pace, which is good to hear. You know, he's quick. I've watched him there on YouTube, but again, you can watch. I could probably make a YouTube clip up of me scoring a few goals
and
make like a good player. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. We've got trust who's signed. I do like the look of him, though, so hopefully he's going to strengthen us. But we need another two strikers, Steve, into this team. And to me, we need another either, you know, defensive midfielder, come someone creative in the centre of that park. And I would even like to see the likes of someone with a bit of experience.
Yeah.
You remember, like, Edgar Davids, you know, they would have brought Edgar Davids in at that time.
Well,
you know,
what about...
Talk about a Cambiasso or...
Yeah, what
you know,
about...
This
what,
type of a player, maybe.
What about at United, where Carrick's come off twice now after 60 minutes and he doesn't look happy, coming, you know, mm-hmm. Schweinsteiger obviously coming on. Well, Schweinsteiger mm-hmm. isn't going to sit on the bench for much longer, is he? He's going to play.
Yeah.
And is Carrick somebody that's sort of looking at it going, well, I don't... Not only do I not want to play 60 minutes, you know, I want to play four games, but in about 3 weeks' time, I'm going to be completely out the side. Actually, I'm 31?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm 31, and I don't really fancy sitting on the bench. You know, I want to play games. He seems that sort of character, doesn't he? Is that somebody that, you know, if he hadn't ever played for Spurs, we'd be going, well, definitely, wouldn't we?
But yeah.
Because he played for Spurs and he went, there'll be people going, oh, we don't want him back, or, you know, he's too old or whatever. Well, you know, no, that's what we need. We've got the
youngsters,
we've got all those. What we need is a professional who's played the game, who knows it inside out, who's played under Fergie, you know, or other great managers, and can come in and sort of steady the ship. And with 20 minutes to go, you know, start giving out orders, start saying, you know, we're 2-0 up here, or 2-1. They are really pushing. You know, we need to do a couple of clever little things. Maybe someone needs to go down for a couple of minutes. You know, although we need to start, you know, get it into their half. We need to push up the defence and all these things we weren't doing. We were basically saying, please, Stoke, come and get another one. You know, we're too friendly. We try and be Tottenham Hotspur, the glamour club, the friendly club, you know. Come and, you know, haven't scored for ages. Come and score against us. We need to be a little bit more. What's the word? You know, the Mourinho tactics, professional in quotations, if you know what I mean.
I think that's what I meant to say earlier as well, was, you know, with the substitutions, and I was a wee bit after the game, and obviously hadn't watched it, that the manager was getting flack. But when I did watch the highlights, you know, those substitutions with 20 minutes to go said to Stoke, here, we're happy. We're going to sit here. And it just let Stoke come on to us, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, even another 10 minutes or so before you actually do that. But I think, again, if we had strength on the bench, he wouldn't have brought on, you know, a midfielder for Kane. But yeah. Who else do you bring on? You know, and that's where I'm blaming the lack of transfer activity.
Well, what about,
you know,
this
we've got 2 weeks left.
We've got Paul Mitchell from Southampton. He's mm-hmm. been there for two transfer windows now. You know, Jason McGovern, who I saw in the pub before, you know, he knows Spurs inside and out, but he said to me, he on Facebook said, what about Wimmer? I mean, Wimmer doesn't even make the bench. So I don't know how, you know, we can sort of say, oh, brilliant for that. Alderweireld, we all know about. This Ngai, is that one of Paul Mitchell's? Because, you know, from reports from Leon fans, they're all saying see you later. so I don't know about that. And, you know, Trippier, obviously, we know about because he played in the Premiership. So that can't give Paul Mitchell credit for that. You know, where are all these, you know, guys from different leagues and all over that he's been all over the world to watch? And he's gone to Daniel Levy and said, right, this guy's a little gem, this guy's a little gem. And they're all in our side and buzzing around. Because at the moment, all he's gone out and bought is B players and C players, you know, by the looks of it. You know, it's like we have a go at Baldini for what he's done. But that's all in hindsight, because when he got Lamella, we were all going, oh, fantastic. You know, he's come from Roma, he knows Lamella. What a brilliant thing he's done there. Oh, great, he's gone and got Soldado. Fantastic. Well, they didn't work out, but that was only after the occasion. You know, we all sort of said, oh, Chadli as well. But Chadley's actually come good. So, you know, we all have a go at Baldini in hindsight. Now I'm saying about Paul Mitchell, well, you know, before he, you know, the season started, mate, where's our striker?
Yeah. Do you think the manager's not being backed?
Sorry?
Do you think the manager's not being backed?
Well, there were five new...
Do you think he's been told these things? Because I can remember clearly Pochettino saying, I want to do the business early.
Well, you got...
We
you got,
want to get it done early.
Well, I don't know who he's targeted. We don't know, do we? Mm-hmm. I know we've got a stadium being built. You know, and somebody tried to tell me that the stadium being built has nothing to do with transfers. Well, that doesn't compute in my brain, because Tottenham Hotspur is a company and a football team, and the money that I pay for my season ticket goes to both, doesn't it? And to catering and to wages and to, you know, a little percentage goes here and there and everywhere, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It must do.
Yeah, it is. And I actually put that out to someone. The way it's going to be, and it has to be, because I was saying, you know, just about, I think people need to realize, you know, their business, Enoch, Daniel Levy, you know, the stadium's going to be built, like, it's going to be absolutely amazing, it's going to be fantastic for us, but you know, it's going to be like this for the next 2 or 3 years, Steve, and they're not, and you know, they can't farm millions and millions of players, plus as well, you know, we can't compete with these wages. And we all know this as Spurs fans, and you know, we're not stupid, you know, thinking that we can go out and sign Schweinsteiger and, you know, Falcao and all these top guys that want 200 odd grand a week. We can't do it. I think the frustrating thing for me is, I thought it was going to be dirty. And as you say, Paul Mitchell's been in there now for 9 months or however long it is. You know, you look at what him and Pochettino done at Southampton very, very quickly. You know, targeting the type of players he wanted to play his system. You know, at the minute we've brought in really three defenders, and we've got a new guy in who we don't know much about. So hopefully that's who they've picked to fit into this system, this style of play.
Yeah.
But there has to be, you know, there needs to be more, Steve, to it. And you know, believe we'll sign another two or three. You know, it could end up being a really exciting, and look, we all love a transfer window day. There's nothing better than sitting at, you know, 10 o'clock at night and there's breaking news at White Hart Lane. We all love
Clint, it. Clint Dempsey's coming back.
Clint Dempsey's come back with
fans. I mean, you know...
But, you know, the thing is, Steve, for me, these guys coming in, it then takes you another 2 or 3... They all go off on international duty. Mm. Takes another 2 or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, you can end at the beginning of October and we're already chasing 12 points, you know, we should probably be on. You know, we're sitting on 1 point at the minute. We're going away to Leicester City next week, who have started on absolute fire.
Yeah.
You know, that is not going to be easy.
They'll be rubbing their hands.
Everton.
They'll be rubbing their hands about playing us.
Yeah, they will. You know, Leicester away, then Everton, I think it is.
Who just beat Southampton 3-0.
Yeah, you
so
know.
It's not looking great. But, you know, you never know. Things could change around. I was going to say something then about... No, lost it. Go on.
No, you know, so, you know, I just want to see the business done, you know, get these players in. But I just believe, look, the manager, he hasn't probably been backed the way he hoped he was going to be backed. Or maybe there was targets there, you know, that he just wasn't able to get it at the end of the day. But
yeah.
No, I'm not trying to panic too much about it. But I also have in my head, Steve, and I think a lot of us need to look at it this way. You know, it's probably going to be 2 or 3 seasons of this, you know, fighting. You know, look, we're all hoping and praying that we're going to get in the top four. It's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Really difficult, you know. But I think for me, personally, I just want to see a bit of a change. I want to see the end of this, you know, us being 2-0 up and losing a 2-goal lead. I want to see the end of it. You know, I want to see a bit more entertainment. I want to see a wee bit more fire in the belly.
Yeah.
I want to hear a better atmosphere on the ground. You know, there was periods when I was watching that game, and I know it's hard to tell on TV, but there was pure silence.
Mm.
There was nothing. And, you know, people slag off being at Old Trafford last week, and all the Man United fans are terrible. You know, we're not the best ourselves at White Hart Lane. I think we just need to get, you know, even a couple of players that are just going to get us on the edge of our seats again.
Yeah.
And I think the likes of Berahino could be that player. He reminds me of very, very much of Jermaine Defoe. I think he's exciting. He's got pace. He's got a bit of fire in his belly. You know.
Well, the fire in the belly is important. But also, you know, we've had this conversation many times about getting, you know, the fact is that we bring on Lamella and they bring on Stephen Ireland. And
he changes the game.
Changes the game, and Lamela changes it for us. You know, we've got the Argentinian international. And is Stephen Ireland from Ireland?
I don't know. I think he is. I don't know.
And also on the bench, they've got Charlie Adam, who can kick anybody whenever he wants to. I'm not, you know, obviously he's a real anti-Spurs guy, so we couldn't sign him. But they've got Peter Crouch there. Now, I'd have had Peter Crouch coming on any day of the week, last 20 minutes. Harry Kane comes off, get the big target man up there. We know he can still, didn't he always get goal of the season for Stoke in the last few seasons? You know, he's not a 90-minute player and he frustrates a lot of guys. But, you know, if Harry Kane is running defenders ragged and then he needs to come off in the last 15 minutes, you know, we've got to stick someone up there. I'd rather have Peter Crouch than Jermaine Defoe. You know, who's a little guy. He's going to need it into his feet. At least, you know, Peter Crouch can hold it up. I mean, there's no chance of getting him back. And I wouldn't want him back. But, you know, we're in a situation where we've got, you know, all these guys on the bench who you look at it and go, well, we could see Dele Alli coming on, but I don't know if he's any good yet. Pritchard, is he good? But, you know, Andrew Rockall, as we've mentioned, told me he's really good. And people say, oh, yeah, he's a really good player. Well, I don't know. I've never seen him. So we've got, you know, it's a bit of a...
And it's a funny thing.
One. But I want to see a couple of established players who you know, want to come on in the last 20 minutes and shut up shop when we turn it up.
And just talking about Stephen Aaron, it's funny, I was watching it with my son Christopher, and I turned around to him and I said, there's another Spurs thing for you. I guarantee you that's Stephen Aaron's best game of the season.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see Stephen Aaron coming on against Arsenal or against Man United and he won't even touch the ball.
Oh no, good point of view.
I give penalty. Oh no, I know. Yeah. Oh, look, as I always say, it's been so frustrating. But look, we've just got to hope that something has to happen this week, Steve. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah.
And I think for supporters, we need something to happen. But as you say, I think, you know, let's fire a few. Michael Carrick's a great call. You know, I don't know if it'll happen. Great call. Do you know another guy I thought about?
Go on.
And he hasn't played yet. I don't know whether he's injured, and people might laugh at me. What about Fellaini?
Yeah.
From Man United.
Yeah, I just think Fellaini's at the stage of his career where he might
Is he injured?
I think he might be, but I just think he's sort of thinking, I don't want to leave Man United just yet. I want to give another season. Whereas Carrick is someone who's been there for a good 10 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's been there, done it now, really, hasn't he?
And he doesn't want to sit on the bench for the last couple of years of his career. He comes across as that sort of character. And it would be a step down, and people say Carrick won't come back to Spurs. But, you know, if he's a football man and he wants to play football, then he will. You know, Robbie Keane was a football man. He went to Liverpool. After 6 months, he realised this isn't going to work out and I want to play football. So he came straight back to Spurs. You know, and I see Carrick in that same way. You know, there's been no speculation, no ITKs, nothing about this. It's just, you know, chatting on Saturday about somebody that could come in and help out these young guys. You know, teach Eric Dyer how to play that central defensive midfield role. You know, because, you know, Dyer's played two games there. He's going to have a half a season before he starts understanding the role really, really well. But I think Dyer has got potential, and I don't want to see him out of the side. But then again, there's lots of players that I do want to see in. You know, again, we've got all these players. We've got guys sitting up in the stands. Wimmer, you know, he must be thinking, what have I signed for Spurs for? You've got Fazio. Who, you know, okay, he's got major faults, but he played in a lot of big games last year. I can't remember whether it was the Arsenal game or the Chelsea game, but he certainly played in one of those where they got the result. And him and Vertonghen were really good for about 10 or 15 games. Sort of our best stage of the season. So, you know, he's half decent, if not fully decent. Yedlin, why isn't he on loan yet? You know, there must be a club. You know, I live in Southend. They'd have him on loan, no problem. Why isn't Adebayor gone yet? Can't just be down to him. Cannot just be down to him. You know, we don't know this.
So strange.
People screaming, going, it's because he wants all the money. Well, you know, yes, he does. Do you know why? Because he's got charities in Africa where he gives them millions of pounds, or he has done over his career. And also he likes the odd Rolex now and again. But
he's a strange one.
I was chatting to the bloke from Ivory Coast in Easter. Eddie Bayor is an absolute hero in Africa because him, George Weah, and he listed off about 10 guys who Drogba, who have all got these little charities, and that's where a lot of their money go. It's not just all about them and their savings and their Rolex.
I can't work him out, Steve.
People on Twitter go, "Oh yeah, Eddie Bayor. What it is? He wants some money because he's a pig of a man, and blah blah." Oh, sorry, you know that, do you? Anyway, we can't talk about it anymore because he's going. But why hasn't he gone yet? He should have gone.
Should have been gone. You're right. And one thing we haven't chatted about is they've actually got rid of all the players bar him that all of us talked about that had to go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, okay, Lennon, I don't know what's going on there with Lennon either. I thought he'd have been at Everton by now.
Yeah.
But, I can't even... I thought Aaron Lennon done really well for Everton when he went.
He's just got a huge chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, I've seen there was video footage of him there in a nightclub last week. And didn't look good either, but I don't know.
Could happen, surely.
Yeah.
Just need to get this well, up these guys.
There's still a few more to go, but I think there's still a few more, hopefully still a few more to come in. We just need someone to come in and just, I think, lift us, give us excitement. Be excited next week to see the new guy. I think he'll probably be straight into the team, Steve.
Yeah.
Or maybe come off the bench. We've got to see, that was the other thing, was Kane injured? All I heard about after the game was that Pochettino said he was tired.
No, he was injured. I saw him rubbing his calf in the first half. He was definitely injured. But you just think to yourself, wait there. I'm going to go into school in a couple of weeks. What if after a week they say, well, wait there. You've taught English all week. You haven't taught any maths. I say, well, no, I'm not really ready to teach maths yet. Give it till end of September, and then I think I'll start teaching some maths. No, I need to be ready on day one when the kids come in. And why aren't we as a football club ready with at least one other striker just in case Kane gets a little injury in his calf and we need to bring someone on to go up front? Whoever it is, a presence, somebody up there who it doesn't have to be Charlie Austin. Why haven't we got one of the young kids? Well, one of these kids who we've seen over the last, 5 years, all playing in the under-21s, knocking in the goals.
On the bench.
One of these guys, because you need a striker on the bench. It would be like not having a goalkeeper and just saying, well, that's all right, because Harry Kane can go in goal if he gets an injury. Sorry, but if you're playing one striker, you need a striker to go on. And Chadley, isn't a striker, is he? He's a good forward player, but he hasn't got that...
he's not a proper
hold
striker.
It up the right way, he doesn't. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about, but why haven't we got a strike?
Look, we've just got to hope, Steve. That something happens this week. But I say I'm worried about the next few games. I really am. And I hate being like this at the start of a season, but it doesn't bode well. And the problem is, and we've said this a million times, and we could probably play back the last 5 years podcast, and they're all going to start to see him.
Well, there was the West Brom, wasn't there, whether we were 1-0 up and we lost it in the last minute under AVB. But the best two games where we were ready and we were ready to go and we did really well was under Harry, because he prepared the team. We got them ready. We beat Liverpool. Then the next season, I think, was Man City, where we wiped the floor with them if it weren't for Joe Hart. We were ready to go. We started the season with a bang. And under these last few managers, they don't seem to be ready. It's unbelievable. Just very quickly, we've got Dan Jones making comments here, very good friend. He is talking about getting Defoe back if Sunderland don't want him.
There rumours out there that Sunderland is leaving? I heard a rumour about that today.
I think he's overweight. And I think there's better options. As someone to just come back and, sit on the bench, for League Cup games, for Europa games, maybe, I don't know. But I think he's probably finished, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And look, we've got to move on. We can't,
Yeah.
We can't be doing, you know, sentence against, you know, we've got to show that we're ambitious and we're hoping to move on. You
Yeah.
know, because, you know, the big thing is, see if we don't, you know, Lloris, Vertonghen, Kane, they're all gone.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
And as you've said, and I've said before, okay, Spurs, we're diehards, we love it, and we'd never leave our club. But these guys, could you blame them?
Yeah. And
Could you blame them?
by the way, Lloris made a terrible mistake in the first half. Oh, I'll tell you what did happen, just before I go back to get these Twitters out of the way, he made a terrible mistake in the first half where he kicked the ball straight to the Stoke player who should have scored or squared it. And he kept doing these goal kicks to the two centre-backs, and they kept giving the ball away every single time,
yeah.
Put them right under pressure. I don't know why he kept doing that. He kept doing it all game, and it was like, stop doing that stupid goal kick. KG Williams said, how have the coaching staff not worked on defending as we look as poor as last season? This is unacceptable. We looked all right up until the last 20 minutes. I don't know what happened there. Singapore Spurs wants us to feature the under-15 side who won in the Lion City Cup. Beat Liverpool 4-0, apparently. Terry Hill wants to talk about Europa and the fact that we weren't in playing Europa, yet we still played poorly. Yeah, is that in the last 20 minutes?
Terry's winding up there. Terry's yeah. winding up. Terry, don't even get Steve started on Europa. That's for later on.
People like it, people don't like it. I'm actually quite looking forward to it this year because we haven't had like 10 soppy games up before the season's even started. So it might be all right this year, you never know. Terry Yockey says, why does Poch continue to talk about a mental weakness yet do nothing to improve it? Don't know, you need a psychologist for that one. And then we've got, is it right for fans to boo? Listen, fans can do whatever they want. Me personally, when I boo, I go bright red and I feel like an absolute idiot. And Mark Nelson is your mate, right?
Yeah.
Did you see Kabaya play today? Yeah, he should be a Spurs player, by the way. Did you notice how he keeps moving the ball forward? Do we have any better in our team? Probably not, no. Michael Coleman, would you like to ask?
Hold on, sorry, before you go on. Mark's right, and Mark was the guy that shouted it out to us a long time ago on Twitter, that he was the guy for us, and I agree with him. We talked about Kabaya, Steve, didn't we?
Yeah,
I just can't believe. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't seen the Arsenal game today with Palace. I was with my son. He had
a really good game, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch match today later. And was Kabay good?
Yeah, really good, really good. Yeah, it was really into it. Real quick passing. And by the way, Palace hit the post. Should have had a player sent off twice, and Arsenal's won it with an own goal. Now you tell me. Well, the next time Spurs have that happen, where a Spurs player should have been sent off twice and the opposition hit the post and we win with an own goal, I will give a pair of Spurs flip-flops to the size 10s because I've got a pair and I'm size 9. They're way too big for me. To the first person that tweets us. Can I just get through these very quickly? Michael Cole would like to ask, as we are now... What team would you choose? We've talked about that minute. Lamella for me. Yeah, trouble is, you don't want to take his full heart out of it. You kind of need him to, you know, get that confidence that he did have for half a dozen games last year. And Gerrard, what are your realistic expectations for us to achieve in Poch's second season and the transfer targets? We'll talk about that in a minute. Another sack manager. Hi, guys. What are your thoughts on Lamella? Talked about that. He was... a witch's hat on the weekend when he came on. Don't know what that means. And Bebe, do we really need more attacking options or just competent substitutes, i.e. not Lamella? Tom Parker, would Lamella get in your boys' under-sevens team? My boy is better than Lamella.
A couple of things. Jared's saying there about, you know, what... You know, we always do this at the start
yeah,
of
let's
each season.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's finish it off with our final predictions, things that's going to happen. What do we reckon, Cole?
Yeah, I reckon we're going to finish eighth
in
the league. Finish eighth in the league. So put that down and we'll go back to this at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We'll go out of the Europa League probably in the first proper knockout stage.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to the quarter final of the League Cup.
Okay.
and we'll get to the semi-final of the FA Cup. We'll get all excited, and we'll get Chelsea,
Yeah.
or a massive team, and we'll
Yeah.
beat.
That's what I said. I said, play. We'll get to the semi final of the FA Cup, and we'll get Chelsea. And the other
Yeah.
semi final will be Sheffield Wednesday versus Nottingham Forest, and we'll get
Yep.
Chelsea. And just before we play Chelsea, our best player will have to rush off to hospital because his girlfriend's pregnant. We'll have a massive lasagna.
Where
We'll have
do you
Atkins. Atkinson will be the referee.
Yeah. Where do you think we'll finish, Steve?
Mourinho would have had a massively bad decision the week before, so the referee must, now give them all the rest of it.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
So I reckon we'll finish sixth. I reckon we'll be at the League Cup quite early because I don't think the fans particularly want that, which is crazy because it was the best day last year. I think we will do win in the FA Cup. It all depends on who you get in the draw. And Europa, I think we'll do a little bit better. But I think it'll muck up. I've already seen that we're playing Arsenal and Chelsea on the Sundays after a Thursday game. So, all those
Right.
pro Europa people, let's hope we go to Finland on the Thursday so that we're back on a Saturday afternoon ready to play Arsenal at the Emirates. Oh, it fills me with dread, these sorts of things. But we could play against the Dutch side. Beat them 3-0, be all up for it, and go and whack Arsenal at the Emirates. But we shall
yeah.
see. We
and
shall
I'll give
see.
You one more thing,
go
and two of us quickly answered. Tell me, if you're allowed to sign four players, what four players would you sign?
Oh, at the top.
Now, realistic.
Realistic. Well, Carrick is one, or maybe that's not realistic. I don't know. Listen, Charlie Austin.
I agree.
I don't know about Berinho. I think
I like him. I would sign both of them.
It could be all right. It could be another one who mid-February is waltzing around up front, when we're 1-0 down and you're thinking, get a bit in you.
I'll give you mine.
Go on.
And it's one that I put out. And I actually put this on Facebook a few weeks ago and I got slated for it.
Go on.
But it was just because people were saying, oh, you're not real. Look, I'm trying to put it out. I would go for Austin, Berahino, Balassi. Did he play today for Palace?
Yeah.
How do you play?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, good. Good player.
I know we're linked with him. I think he's the guy that would get us off.
Can't remember if he
get
did
us off our
they,
seats.
They all play pretty well, yeah.
Yeah, I know we're linked. I think he's the guy to get us off our seats, give us
yeah.
a bit of pace, score goals. And my fourth one, who was I going to say there? Berahino, Austin, Balassi. Another midfielder. Well, I shouted him out. I quite like the sound of Fellaini, but I don't think that's realistic.
No.
And we talked about him months ago. The boy from Newcastle, Sissoko, is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Sissoko, or whatever you call him, mate, from Newcastle.
There's another one that you've said, and you got in a bit of a debate with someone about. Who was that?
Oh.
He says it was like a Charlie Adam, but it wasn't. I can't remember.
Can't remember either.
Ryan Shawcross is injured, so obviously I don't want to buy him at the moment. But
we'll leave him.
But we've got Alderweireld, so I'm happy with that. And I think we're good at the back.
I think we'll get stronger at the back. What about again? I said this again to my son yesterday watching the match. When they made the substitutions, instead of Lamella, why didn't we bring on Trippier at right back and move Kyle Walker into right wing instead
brilliant,
of Lamella?
Brilliant point. That's what I would do. Because Trippier looks
that's
good.
That's what I would do.
Trippier
he does,
good season. Good player, solid.
Man of the match against Milan.
Yeah, push Walker on. I think Walker is a right midfielder. I think he'd be good there.
I think he'd be great. So do I.
You know?
So do I, definitely. Oh, maybe we should be the managers.
Well, I think
maybe me.
Maybe. I saw Big Kev. He was good in Bellingham.
Big Kev was in Northern Ireland and he never told any of us.
He's a
can't believe
tell all the girls.
Yeah.
He tells.
He missed out.
Yeah. Okay, mate. Well, here we go. We've got Leicester at the weekend. Now, they are rubbing their hands together, but is this the right time to play Leicester? Are Leicester City the sort of side that do put, three results in a row? Or are they the sort of side that win two, rub their hands together, go, here we go, and, you know, a side like Spurs comes along and does a little number on them.
Could be right, because that's probably what Spurs would do.
Yeah.
Win two, well, win the first two, and then get beat by someone stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all this negativity, the other thing I was going to say was, you look, if you go through the Premier League, you point out any side that were happy with last week and this week and will be happy with next week as well, and you won't find many. You know, Chelsea, they're not happy. Arsenal weren't happy last week. I can't
West Ham
too happy today because, you know, they won with an own goal, although they played all right. West Ham, you know, Sunderland are desperate. Newcastle are really unhappy. Everton, they flew a banner, didn't they, to get Ken Wright out, and then they won 3-0. Southampton are not happy. Liverpool, you know, they were really average, weren't they, against Stoke, and just a bit of magic at the end, you know, and so we'll see.
You're right. You know, look, it's two games.
Two games.
You know, we'll be there and
judge it properly after 10.
We'll judge it after 10, but all I'll say is get the checkbook out, Mr. Levy. Get
Please.
The checkbook out and get us some new players.
Yeah.
Get us excited. Get our bums off the seats, you know, cheering on Bolasie going down the wing doing his tricks. I'm happy enough to watch that, Steve.
Absolutely.
You know? So let's see what happens. But as usual, you know, have to keep the faith and come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, see how we get on. All right, mate, I'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers. Come on, you Spurs.